Exodus so we can look. You might notice on the board we have a picture of the Middle East, particularly the land surrounding the Promised Land. We're going to zoom in here shortly, but on that map, just to the northeast of the Dead Sea is here, you have Moab, and here you have the Plain of Moab. We're going to talk about that. This is the place right here where the Book of Numbers was written. You might remember Moses died on Mount Nebo, right here. And we have reason to believe that the Book of Numbers was written. Looks like we need a bald change there. I don't know. It's a little dim. And so we'll be coming to that shortly. So Exodus, and we're going to go to the next slide here, and I'm going to give us the second thing here on the map. The second thing on the map so we can talk a little bit about the Book of Numbers in relationship to the tabernacle being erected. So look at Exodus chapter 40. It's the last chapter of Exodus, and we'll be looking at verse number 17. It came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. All right, a rehearsal. What year do we date the Exodus? Yes. Brian, it's your last Sunday with us, isn't it? Moving to Korea this week? That's a little further than New York, even. I think so. It doesn't feel as far as New York, but no. You'll be there about a year, right? You'll certainly be missed. And then you have a follow-on somewhere else. You're not promised to come back here, are you? So I'm glad that saved people don't ever really say goodbye. It makes me very happy. So Brian reminds us that the date of the Exodus is about 1446 B.C. All right, so you need to see this. We'll get into it here in Exodus in Numbers in just a minute, but you need to see, in regards to the authorship of Moses, Moses is pretty good at giving us a timeline. So take it in what I just said. It's really simple. Just don't get overwhelmed looking forward. Just think about Moses giving us a timeline little by little through the books that he writes. And we find out in the last chapter of Exodus that the tabernacle, or the tent for God to stay in, really is the concept there, is year 2, month 1, day 1. All right, let's go to Numbers. You got to skip Leviticus. We've already taught Leviticus. Leviticus was basically a guidebook for Levites, I think is how Marcus summed it up. Or maybe as Jim Hartman summed it up, as a guidebook for Levites, and it's very little story in it. Very little story. Okay, so, Jim, I need you to hang out after class. I need to introduce you to Carol, okay? So, all right, good. You guys work at the same place. I want to make sure you knew it. All right, so Numbers, chapter number 1, and look at verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of Egypt, saying. All right, so look up on the board. We just found out that the book of Numbers is the center item on the board. The book of Numbers begins year 2, month 2, day 1. So, how long has transpired since the tabernacle was erected? Yeah, that's it. 1 month. So there's 1 month between the end of Exodus and the beginning of Numbers. That's very simple. Now, you don't have to be a genius to know that. You just got to be able to read. And so I think we're all able to grasp this. This is good. All right, so we see Numbers chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Is that we see Numbers begins. Now, let's see how much time Numbers covers. Let's find out how much time Numbers covers. I'm kind of giving it away here because the fourth item on there is the death of Aaron. Let's look at Numbers chapter 33 together. Numbers 33. There's 36 chapters in the book of Numbers. Numbers 33 talks to us about the death of Aaron. Look at chapter 33, look at verse number 38. Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there. In the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. So, roughly, this book of Numbers covers roughly 38 years and 3 months. Okay? You can see just by looking up on the board. Between Numbers 1-1 and Numbers 33-38, there are 38 years and 3 months covered in this book. And that doesn't count the last 3 chapters, of course. Okay?
So the question is, well, how much time does the last three chapters take?
Well, one clue is to look at the first few verses of Deuteronomy. So just flip in your Bible a few more pages and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Now, Walter already taught the book of Deuteronomy, but so I'm only mentioning this so that we can get some perspective in relation to the book of Numbers. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spoke unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness. All right, so he's on the east side of the Jordan River, and we'll look back at the map here. So right here is where Deuteronomy is also being written, as described in the lesson where Walter taught that. Now look at verse 3. It came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel. So Deuteronomy begins, how long, the year 40, month 11, day 1. How much more time has transpired since Aaron's death?
6 months.
Yep, 6 months. You know, so there's not a whole lot of guesswork here. And so the question is, well, what does Numbers cover? Well, let's take a look at some things, all right? So, first of all, I've already discovered that Numbers covers 38 and probably 40 years. You could probably just round it up and say 40 years. But since the children of Israel left month 1, year 1, we find that out from the book of Numbers 33:3. See the first item up there on the board on the left. We can say Numbers covers most of the 40 years of wandering. Now that's really amazing. And you're going to get an idea here in just a minute how much we don't know. How much we don't know. Okay, so why am I saying that? Well, look at chapter 14. As we look at chapter 14 of Numbers, I'd like someone who hasn't answered out loud yet to tell me in chapters 12, 13, and 14 what the big event is. Say again, please. Yeah, the 12 spies that went into the Canaan from Kadesh Barnea. Let's go and look where Kadesh Barnea is. Kadesh Barnea is here in this area, okay? And it's to the south of what is now known as Israel, okay? And so from there they send these 12 spies. Who are two of the spies we know for sure?
Joshua and Caleb.
Okay, that's very good. Joshua and Caleb. Susanna, this is your last Sunday with us too, isn't it? So she's moving to Columbia, and husband is retiring, and his terminal leave starts in February, right? And he's already basically there working the family business because he's retiring and they have a business there. So some of you are here for the fall festival. You'll remember that we had some games for our class, and Jim provided most of those. James Kassler provided most of those. That's what we're going to do down there. James is retired, and they have a business down there where they do bounce houses, basically festival games and that kind of thing, carnival games. And so that's what they're going to be doing. So we've already got them hooked up with Pastor Jonathan's son-in-law for a good church down there. You know, Josh Vaughn is a drill sergeant down there, so I'm sure that won't reflect in his choice of churches. Just kidding. You don't want a pastor that acts like a drill sergeant. But anyway, so say hello to Susanna before she leaves. What'd you say? I'm not going to send anyone to a Presbyterian church, Walter, okay? Just forget it, okay? That's crazy. All right, so you look at Numbers chapter number 14. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 32. As for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So there's the pronouncement that you folks are going to walk around for 40 years. That's pretty wild, isn't it? All right, so let's notice a few things that are taking place in the book of Numbers. This is just really exciting. So let's start back at the beginning of the book, the beginning of the book of Numbers. We're going to just flip through the book of Numbers so you can at least say, yes, I am familiar with it. You'll notice in chapters 1 through 3, how would you describe the subject matter of chapters 1 through 3? Someone who hasn't answered out loud yet. All right, Brother Greg. Yes, exciting times. Right? A census. And so this is one of those sections of your Bible that you're taking copious notes in and hopefully reading with lots of concentration. because you need to know how many were in each tribe and so forth. All right? And then as we look at chapters 4 through 8, it's more fun stuff, folks. Chapters 4 through 8, what do you see there? If you were to sum it up, someone who hasn't answered, what would you say chapters 4 through 8 is? So far, the book of Numbers is incredibly exciting. A census. Now, chapters 4 through 8. Greg?
Census of the priests.
Okay, so we're definitely counting the priests, but what else have we got going on there?
Duties.
Duties of the priest. More. Yowzers. Yes, a duty roster, very nice. Okay, you got to unarmify those terms in here. Not everyone. Mike calls it a DA6. I hope it doesn't get this long. But in any case, here's how you offer sacrifices. And see, in chapter number 8, you find how they're offering sacrifices. Okay, can you remind me, by the way, where... And that goes on into chapter number 9. Can anyone remind me, please, where the tabernacle was erected? Sinai. Who said that, please? Okay, so Sinai. You might notice in chapter number 9 and verse number 15, Moses tells them how they can know it's time to leave. They're still in Sinai. How do I know that? Chapter 10, verse 11 says, "It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai." Now that is not up on the slide, okay? But this is the 20th day, second month, second year. So, how long has the first 10 chapters of Numbers taken? Look up on the board and find something that we have talked about. Then look at chapter 10, 11, and 12. Chapter 10, verse 11. And tell me how long has transpired. So we have month 2, day 1 in chapter 1, verse 1. And here in chapter 10, verse 11, we have month 2, day 20. Yeah, 19 or 20 days. So the census and more description of what the Levites have to do has taken almost 3 weeks. That's all it is. And chapter 9, verse 15 tells you how it's instructions. Here's how you can know it's time to leave. On the day, chapter 9, verse 15, that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. At even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. Now, I know that we just covered that in a verse. I mean, it's like, okay, cloud move, let's throw our junk on the camel, let's roll. But that was quite an undertaking. 3 million people with tents and animals. Okay, this was not just, you know, go-go gadget station wagon and everything folds up neatly. This is a big deal. The cloud is moving, it's time to pack. So the Levites, as described in chapters 4 through 8, are taught how to break down the tabernacle. Some of you would call it a talk jump. A tabernacle. Break that thing down. Put it on beasts of burden. Some of them have carts. Okay, so here's how it works. Way on back, Abraham had a son who had another son, right? So Abraham's son. Let's break this down and remind ourselves what we studied for 90 weeks. Abraham had a son, the one we're talking about, the one that was the son of promise. What's his name?
Isaac.
Isaac had a pair of sons. What were their names?
Jacob
and Esau. The one that was the son of promise, his name was?
Jacob
had 12 sons. All right, he had 4 women in his life. And they gave him 12 sons and how many daughters that were told of?
One.
Her name is Dinah. Very good. You're fantastic. So Leah had 4 children before any of the other ladies had children. Leah had 4 sons. You remember the name of the first one? Reuben, then Simeon, then Levi. Levi is our tribe of priests. Levi had 3 sons. They are spelled out for us in the book of Numbers. Now, they're not living still. These are not 3 Yoda figures walking around giving. These are families now. All right, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. One was responsible for carrying the garments, the badger skins, the tents, the rods. Another was responsible for taking, I should say, probably the rods, the implements, the hooks, the latches, everything. Because remember, it's a big tent. And the courtyard barrier, this is spelled out in chapter 4 through 9 of Numbers. But the Kohathites, the other two families, they were given wagons and oxen to pull the wagons. And it was just kind of, okay, it was hard work. But the Kohathites were the ones that were responsible for moving the furniture. How many pieces of furniture are in the tabernacle proper? Yes, 6. Anyone tell me, as you come in, now this is spelled out in Exodus and Leviticus and now Numbers. As you come in the front door of the tabernacle, what is the first piece of furniture the Levite would encounter? It's a place where he washes. Laver, or basin, right? Then there is the tabernacle proper. There are two rooms in the tabernacle. What are they called? The first one is the holy place. The second room is called the Holy of Holies. Between them is what? A veil. In the first of those two compartments, there are three pieces of furniture. Does anyone remember what they are? What'd you say?
Lampstand?
No, not the ark yet. Table of showbread. Oh, forgive me, there were two outside. Forgive me, I moved us inside too far. By the laver, there is what? A brazen altar where you offered the sacrifices. Thank you. Then there, so that means there are four pieces of furniture left. They're in the tabernacle. The first room, you have the menorah, the candlestick, seven-branch candlestick. Then what? Table of showbread. Okay, then what? Another altar. What was it called? Altar of incense. After that, the high priest goes beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and finds one last piece of furniture. What is it called? The Ark of the Covenant. Right on top of the Ark of the Covenant is called the what? Mercy seat. On top of the mercy seat, there are two what facing one another? Cherubim. Very good. Two cherubs. Right. Cherubim is plural. So there are cherubim or two cherubs. Good. All right. Well, good. You have a great grasp on that. Many of you do. Some of you are like, I'm so far behind. Yeah, but no one knows. Everyone was answering. You're good. It's okay. All right. So these are things spelled out for us in chapters 9 and 10. Here's how we know it's time to roll out. Okay. Now, as we get to in chapters 10 through 14, we have a little bit of chronology. A little bit of chronology. And the chronology talks about quails given and temptations. Basically, three chapters of misbehaving Israelites. Okay? Then we get to chapter number 15, and we have something else. What does it look like to you? More laws. Yay! More laws about how to offer sacrifices. Chapters 16 and 17, you have more misbehaving Israelites. And usually that means that Moses and Aaron are keeping them from dying in some way. And one time it was a brazen serpent. Another time it was offering sacrifices. Another time it was Phinehas stabbing a couple engaged in immorality. Reminds me of a preacher friend of mine that I really appreciate said that he was kind of old and he wasn't pronouncing his words just right, and he was up preaching at a church as the guest preacher, and he said, I got some CDs back on the table. I got some that I preached around Easter time, some on immortality, and some little girl came back and said, where's that message on immorality you were talking about? Anyway, and he said it was the same meeting. He said, I have some messages back that are prophetic. And another little one came by and said, where's the pathetic message you were talking about? He said, well, basically any of them will fit that bill. You can just pick it. So anyway, you have to always be careful with certain words. I would hate to be learning English. Immorality was taking place, all right? And then in chapters 18 and 19, we have what seems to be more what? Take a look there. More work, more laws for the Levites to keep track of. How to offer sacrifices. Hey, really, I'm going to talk about this Wednesday night. Some of you aren't aware that we have church on Wednesdays. But this Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about how the entirety of the law and the prophets hangs on two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So somehow, you need to just think through a moment how all these laws reflect that. It's pretty wild. You know, you got to think about that. How in the world can I find loving God or loving my neighbor and making sure that I wash a certain piece of meat before I offer it as a sacrifice? And oh, by the way, it doesn't apply to me if I don't have the right daddy. You know, if I'm not in the right family, I don't even have to worry about it. It's very strange, isn't it? So anyways, things have come a long way since the new covenant.
Amen.
Chapter 20, we have people dying. We have Moses eventually messing up his chances to get into the promised land. Chapters 20 through 26. Now, there is a major story that takes place in these, chapters 20 through 25 really is more. What happens in 23, 24, 25? What's the big story there? Balaam. Yeah. Balaam. An unsaved prophet. We find out in Jude he probably went to hell. Yes, sir.
Since we haven't reaffirmed from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, that in chapter 20, the rock that Moses struck, that is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's a rock, what do we call him?
Since who's a rock?
Christ.
Since Christ is the rock.
Yeah, he identifies it as Christ.
Yes.
Is that a Christophany?
Well, I think that is a picture, a good picture. In the book of Numbers, there are several wonderful pictures of Christ. And that's why I wish I had an hour and a half to teach, you know, but you're probably very happy that I don't. No amens, please. But in any case, there are a lot of pictures of Jesus in the book of Numbers. One of them would be the brazen serpent. He said he was, John 3. Another one is the smitten rock. Paul says that Jesus was a picture of the smitten rock. Huh?
Says it was Christ.
Yeah, well, clearly it's a metaphor, you know. Obviously that very hard surface was not the flesh and blood Jesus, right?
No.
So, I mean, it's clearly a metaphor that Jesus is the rock that Moses smote. And beautiful picture of Christ, no question about it. And, of course, in this survey of Old Testament books, I want to share all those neat things that are revealed in the New Testament. But we have to be aware of the big story before we can give all the deep stuff. By the way, you're really not doing yourself a service by not being at the services of Berean. You're really not.
That's right.
You really need to be here, or you're not getting a complete education. You say, well, I work. Okay, God knows that. But a lot of what we're talking about, we're preaching through in 1 Corinthians on Sunday nights. I can tell you who preached that message, 1 Corinthians 10. It was Brian Howell, preached 1 Corinthians 10, the first five or six verses. So some of the questions we have in here have been answered in the last 6 or 8 months in this church. So I would encourage you, if you can't be at a particular service, listen to it for your own edification. It will come to you when you need it. I have a 16-hour-old story of where God used his scripture in my life. And I don't have time to tell it, but let's just say that usually you'll only have the stories to tell that you've prepared for in hours and hours of seeming uselessness. You study these things, you're like, when will this ever serve me? It will serve you. Be patient and continue to put things in your bag as you read them. You will need them one day. They are good for your edification, is what the Lord said. So here we are, we're talking about Balaam for 3 chapters, the second talking animal in the Bible. What was the first one? Serpent. And what's this one? A donkey. Thank you for policing it up. All right, good. You're making it nice and churchy for me. It doesn't say donkey in my Bible. All right, so in chapter 26, you have something else. You have more laws in chapter 20. Actually, it's another census. That's what we need. We need a little bit more counting. So another census in chapter 26 and chapters 27 through 30, you have more laws. If you're not sure, look at chapter 29 and you can figure out how to offer another bullock. All right. And then chapter 31 is actually story. It's actually things happen in 31 and 32. And then in chapter 33, we have a chronology of their travels. And really, chapter 33 and 34, you have boundaries of what they're going to conquer in Canaan. Where did they get this information of the boundaries? They got it about 4 decades earlier. From who? from spies. That's right. They brought back records of what they had seen, and they still had them. Okay? So all of the boundaries spelled out in chapter 34 are from previous done work. We might call it recon. All right? And let's see. Chapter 35, you have this thing known as cities of refuge. They are for people who killed others and didn't mean to do it. And they had to stay in these cities of refuge until either arbitration could be performed or the high priest died. Yes, those were the two opportunities for acquittal. Chapter 36 winds it up with a very odd thing. What do you do for a man who has no sons, only daughters? What do you do with his inheritance? That's a strange way to end a book. But that is Numbers. So let me see if I can read this to you. Listen, and maybe this is a good summary. Numbers tells us that there were sections including a census, chapters 1 through 3, duties for a Levite, chapters 4 through 8, preparation for departure from Sinai, chapters 9 and 10, more laws, chapter 15, more duties for priests, chapter 18 and 19, another census, chapter 26, more laws, chapter 27 through 30, chronicles of travels, chapter 33, boundaries of Canaan, chapter 34, cities of refuge, chapter 35, and what to do with them, and inheritance laws for sonless men, chapter 36. So when you get down to it, of the 36 chapters in Numbers, roughly 13 and a half of them our actual narrative of the wanderings. Or even more daunting of a statement, 13 and a half chapters covers 38 years and 3 months. So, of the 40 years of wandering, we have about 13 and a half chapters to talk about it. So, the question I have for you is, how little do we know? We know very little, very little. So some of the key players, Miriam dies in Numbers. Who is that?
Moses'
sister. Aaron dies in Numbers. Who is that? Moses' brother. Yeah. Balaam and Barak, that's the false prophet. And Barak, he's the Moabite king who hires him. That happens in Numbers. Phinehas, which is not Ferb's partner. Phinehas is the man who receives the blessing of the priesthood because he did the right thing and showed zeal and stayed a plague. That's found in chapter 25. All right, so 40 years of wandering. Now let's talk a little bit. So this is pretty simple. Pretty simple here. If the Exodus took place in 1446 BC and Numbers covers the 40 years of wandering, then you know that Numbers wasn't written any earlier than 1407, 1406 BC. Okay, so you have the date of writing. Let's talk about who wrote it. Look at the last chapter. Look at verse 13. These are the commandments and the judgments which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Well, let's look at this picture here. And I'm going to zoom it in so we can get a good idea. Here are the plains of Moab right in here. But it says something specific. What does it say? Across from Jericho. Here's Jericho. So right in here somewhere is where the book of Numbers was finished. All right?
So they're over there where Jacob and Esau parted ways.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you for pointing that out. They've passed, basically, yeah, there's a lot of history. What the daunting thing is, remember what I just said, we don't know about that 38-year period. We know ridiculously less of the period before that. Even though we have 50 chapters of Genesis, remember, it's the last 39 chapters of Genesis that cover a few hundred years. The first 11 chapters of Genesis cover 1,800 years. Almost a third of human history. And that's if you believe the chronology and the genealogies, and I do. So we know so little about human history from just the Bible. So, I want to add a little perspective to this idea. Is it realistic to think that Moses wrote the Numbers as it was happening? Yes. And the reason we know it was realistic for him to do that is because he first started doing that. What is going on with that light? Anyway, in Exodus chapter number 17 and verse number 14, you remember on the heels of that, it says that Moses wrote this down as a memorial for a book of memorial. That was the style. We talked about that in the lesson on Exodus 17:14, as things were happening, typically Moses wrote them down. So it's natural, unless I have a better explanation, it's natural that Moses is recording numbers as it's occurring. But he doesn't record all of it. So how do we explain this? Well, let me see here. I would like to...
Verse 13.
Of
which the Lord commanded.
Yeah, he wrote down what God wanted.
Right.
Yeah. Let me see. I want to also show you another helpful passage. Numbers 21, verse 12. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon. We're in verse 13 of Numbers 21 now. Which is in the wilderness that comes out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon. So, what's your takeaway from that passage? Yeah, it's very simple. There are other books that were written that we don't have. That have some of this history. Now, there's another book that's mentioned by three different authors. Well, three different books. But what's surprising is that they are... It's the expanse of these three books is about 300 or 400 years. Joshua, Judges, and Samuel all mention this book known as the Book of Jasher. Okay? Now, we can't be sure that we have perfect copies of that book. But I did get it on Amazon for 99 cents on my Kindle. And so it's pretty wild. You know, and it includes some things that, you're like, man, I wonder why they did that. Man, I wonder how many daughters Adam and Eve had. Okay, I read the first couple chapters since seeing it on Josh's shelf the other day. And I said, I wonder if I can get it quicker than just ordering a paper copy through Amazon. They had it on Kindle for 99 cents. So I read the first couple chapters. Adam and Eve had Cain, Abel, and three daughters. That's what it says. So what do you do when you have extra stuff? Well, if it's believable, and I certainly wouldn't put it on the same level with Scripture, right? I just wouldn't. But if it's... Nice, the Wikipedia of the first century. But the amazing thing is that this dates back to, 1500 BC. This Book of Jasher. This Book of Wars apparently existed and was being compiled at the same time as the Book of Numbers. And who is the author of it, I don't know. But we do know that what we have here is the product of Numbers is probably from Moses because of the last chapter. All right, now let me see here if I can add a little bit more fun to this little mix here. Look at chapter 12. Look at chapter 12. So there are other books. Only 13 and a half chapters cover 38 years of wandering. What are some other fun facts you can share with your kiddos? It was written right across the Jordan River from Jericho. It was written by Moses. Probably not written any earlier than 1400-ish BC. All right. Now, you might remember several months ago in the Genesis series, some of you were not here, and that's why I'm repeating it, we talked about how someone could be given credit for the overall composition of a book, even if someone added a little something later. We talked about that. And if that troubles you, you probably need to listen to that lesson again. But think about Numbers chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. So Moses married an Ethiopian woman, okay? It's the second wife that I can tell of in the Bible because the first one's name was Zipporah. Very good. And he married her in what land?
Midian.
Yeah, Midian. And right, very good, very good. So here's a second wife we're told about in the Bible. He had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, and has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And here's a parenthetical statement. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. I'm having a hard time thinking Moses wrote that verse. Okay? All right. Just so everyone knows, I'm the meekest man I know. Probably the meekest guy on the earth. Right? So there's a strong possibility that, and you have to decide, am I a liberal now? You have to decide that. Okay? No head nodding. You have to leave this room and think, Bill Sturm's a liberal. I can't believe he just said there's a verse in Numbers Moses probably didn't write, but someone did after him, and he still says Moses wrote Numbers. If you think that, I'm sorry, I'm not changing. There are just some things in the Bible you don't sound intelligent if you say. Like, Moses said he was the meekest man on the whole globe. Okay? All right. So, I'm trying to make sure that we don't say things that get us laughed at, but are still true to Scripture. Okay? It is true that Numbers is Scripture. It is also because Paul said so, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. But it is also true to say that Moses wrote Numbers without saying that Moses wrote all of Numbers. If you don't believe that, just consider the publishing industry today. Okay? How many proofreads does something go through before it's published, and yet it has the author's name on it? Now, it's not a great parallel. I know that. I know that I just gave you an imperfect parallel about a perfect book. But I wanted you to at least be aware before you go out there and fight for something that probably is not true. You probably shouldn't say things like, hey, there were no people like Ezra that added good things afterwards.
Well, we go by the New Testament verification that it was men of God moved by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that was, even when you come down to the capturing of the canon, it was the Holy Spirit moving godly men that were putting together the Scriptures. And that's why the Wikipedia of the first century didn't make it. Because there were probably some edits and some additions by people that they couldn't verify, and where what has been verified is complete in what we call the Bible.
Right. Well said. Walter?
No, I mean, you see it again at the end of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
After Moses is dead.
Yeah, that's right. Moses probably did not write about his death.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And Moses was buried, and he hadn't been buried yet. Yeah. Imagine that. So that's the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Any other questions or comments? I've actually stopped short of 10:30. It's amazing. Yes?
So just to kind of add to what you were saying about how much we don't know, like a lot of the stuff, Aaron's death is also mentioned in chapter 20.
Mm-hmm. Give us a verse.
22.
Okay.
Starting in 22.
So Numbers 20:22. Okay. Yeah.
So that seems to be.
Yeah, verse 24. Aaron shall be gathered to his people. Yeah.
21 through like all Balaam's, 25, 26, all the way through the census. Mm-hmm. All those stories that happen, Aaron's not mentioned again until his death is talked about again out there. So all these things that happened in like the last 6 months, they were actually in the Bible. So there is so, like, from the all the way year 40, all the way back to when they left Sinai in the first year, or after the first year they were there, that's almost the entire time that we only have a few stories of actual stuff that happened.
Right. You know, consider chapter 23 where we start this thing with Moab. The children of Israel are here, and the king of Moab, who is Balak, wants him to curse him before they come through his land.
But that happens.
So that's chapter 24.
It happened after Aaron's death, though.
Possibly. I mean, it seems like it. I would say that's the natural reading, is it happened after Aaron's death. But the reason, I don't want to get too deep there. But I think you're generally correct, and I would generally agree with you. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Just a reminder, though. Today, if a director wants to cover two things simultaneously, he has the luxury of putting two windows in the same TV. You know, here things may not have happened exactly chronological, and you have to have mercy on the limitations of an author. You know, he has to write about something first, right? All right. Yes, Josie.
Me reading through like Numbers and, you know, paraphrasing it just gives me such an appreciation for Christ that I'm not under that law.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the Jewish people could not grasp that. Here's the freedom from this heavy burden.
Yes, you can have Jesus, you can have the laws of Numbers. Yeah. And maybe when we're in Exodus and we're talking about case law, how to treat your neighbor when you find his oxen wandering off into another field. That has, and even some of Leviticus dietary practices. And by the way, washing your hands is a good idea, and you find that in Leviticus, right? So there are some things that we are happy about that are in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. But as a rule, yes, Christ is the replacement for all of the tabernacle practices, the priesthood itself. And if you're not sure about that, you need to re-listen to that lesson in Leviticus and Hebrews, because it's very clear that the intent of the Lord is that Christ replace the Old Testament. We've got to go, man. It's 10:30.